Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Today is May Day here in Annapolis, and so folks wear folks put baskets of flowers on their front doors for May Day. And historically, they're judged, and then they get big blue ribbons and different color ribbons. They're not judging them, but they're still putting baskets up. For those of you that are members of Aging Life Care, May is also the National Aging Life Care Month, and so celebrate that, too. So the whole month, ALCA will be doing things if you are members, and please join us, even if you're not. I want to thank Byron for taking time out of his day, again, to lead another Zoom call. We line him up regularly, so thank you very much. So I'm going to keep you busy and out of trouble. So I would like to tell you, Julie's going to talk about what she's going to do in terms of muting you in the chat thing. But I want to thank you all who are on today for putting your cameras on. I'm just going to say we're doing these so that we can support each other in this time. And it's easier to do that if we can see you. So we don't care if you don't have makeup on or if you're growing a beard or you just shaved it off or if you're in your sweats. But think about putting your picture on. And Stephanie, I'm missing that you're not still at the beach with your background. You came home, didn't you?
Huh?
You came home from the beach, didn't you?
Yeah, got home from the beach.
Yeah, I see. All right, without further ado, we're going to record this. I'm going to turn it over to Julie.
Good morning, all. Yes, we are recording this call, just so you know, and I've muted everybody's phone, but feel free if you have something to say to unmute. It just helps with the background noise. And you can also type questions or comments in the chat box as well. Thanks for being here today. Back to Byron.
Hello. I'm trying to get my fan on. My office is getting warm. Well, how is everybody? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways. Okay. All right, Karen's in there. Well, so thank you guys. We're an S. Daniels. All right, she got the emoticon inserted Spencer of a thumbs up. So we do have a small group. This is great. We can chat away. We just wanted to start these. I know. If you're a member of the Aging Life Care Association, which I know not all NACM certificants are, then you know there's been lots of webinars for that or lots of Zoom calls. And so for NACM, we just decided that we wanted to kind of support our certificants and see each other's beautiful faces a little bit more often and see the outdoors with Amy. We're jealous of you, I know, right? I think it's going to be 95 here today. So is that right? Spencer's not far from me. I think we're 90 or something like that. It's going to be hot. So, so today we wanted to talk about just kind of what our backgrounds are, because with NACM, we have a wide variety of certificates. I know our aging life care folks, and I'm included in that I tend to think that a NACM certificate kind of makes you the best care manager. I think it does. But it also, we tend to think that if we see that CMC, then they must be an ALCA member. And that's not true. Only about half of our NACM certificates are actually members of ALCA. So the other half are doing something different. They're working in mental health. They're working for state departments. They're working for some nonprofits. Maybe doing care management, like we consider it, or like an aging life care member would consider it, kind of private geriatric care management. But they may be doing something very, very different. And that's, I think, what we kind of wanted to talk about. And then what is the value of that certificate? So I know probably 80% of the folks on this, at least by face or name, and so I think it looks like we kind of have an ALCA rich, we have an aging life care rich group here. So can I get, if you are an aging life care member, I'm so sorry, Sarah, you're distracting me. You have your QT court. I'm so jealous. I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Quick Trip started, and we just finally got QTs in San Antonio. There's none near my house. I know Spencer's shaking his head. They're building one by my house. It should be finished in a few months. I'm so sorry. My motto in high school was a thespian, was oh for a QT quote. So anyway, sorry, you were distracting me. So can I get a thumbs up, or can folks give me some kind of sorry, Tani squirrel? So can I get a thumbs up from folks if you are an ALCA member, or wave your hands. Do this if you're an ALCA member. Yay. Okay. So now for our other folks, do this if you are not an Aging Life Care Manager, if you're a NACM certificate, but you're doing something else. Okay. We don't have Janet's. So Kelly, yes, you're different. Okay. So Kelly, can I pull you out? We know what Aging Life Care Managers do. I think most of us do. So can you tell us what you do that's different, and how the NACM certificate helps you? Sorry to call you out. Do you mind speaking? You can say no. You're muted. Oh, there you go. Can't hear you.
Kelly,
Anybody else hear her?
Kelly, are you listening to us on the phone? No, you're on your computer. We can't hear you.
You have a mic. You may not have a microphone. You may just have a camera on your phone. I don't know. Or you have your microphone
muted.
If you go down to the mute button and click that little carrot, it'll tell you what you're using as your microphone. Nothing.
Oh.
Okay.
No.
All right. Kelly, do you do sign language by any American ASL? Just by chance, no. Okay. Well, that's all right. Well, that's great, and welcome, and thank you. So I'll kind of tell you guys, and maybe Kelly can figure out the microphone, or you can call in Kelly also if you want.
She could also type in the chat box a little bit. Would be great, too.
There you go.
Other options.
That's true. So I will tell you as a as an aging life care manager, 18 years, almost 30 years, a little over 30 years as a social worker. I've been a social work snob my whole life. Anybody that knows me, Stephanie can nod. I think social workers do the best things. I think we're awesome. And I didn't really think we needed to be certified. When I worked in a hospital setting and I worked in a medical setting. Can you hear me, Stephanie? Oh, I thought you were. Yes. Okay. There was kind of a push in the mid 90s to get certified, for folks to get certified, and especially in the late 90s when we kind of became case management departments. And so the nurses were all scrambling to get certified. And I don't mean to denigrate any nurses, but they're not trained in case management, so they needed to prove that they could do case management, because they're just an RN doesn't give them that. In Texas, a social work degree, actually our licensing board says that some of the things we do, aside from clinical things, is case management. So I was a little bit of a snob, probably still am. But when ALCA decided to pursue certification, I thought, well, let's all get on board. We all do need some common collective for us. And then once I started looking at the certifications, and especially the NACM certification, I was blown away at how much it proves and shows what we do. What we do as a profession, I think it does pull us all together. And then for me personally, I think it sets us apart. Again, Spencer's in my same area here in San Antonio, and Janet's in Houston. And in South Texas, we have a few wannabe care managers. We have folks that kind of run around and kind of say, I can do that. I can. And I know everybody, I've talked to folks across the country, and I know folks have People that say they are care managers, or people that do placement agencies and still, you know, say, oh, you don't need a care manager because I can do everything they can do. So we have folks who literally say they are a care manager, and we have folks who just kind of posers. And I think that the CMC, certainly my belonging to a couple of national organizations, but that CMC after my name, I think really sets apart. And I know Spencer, that in San Antonio, our unit, we use that to help set ourselves apart from anybody that claims that they can do care management as kind of the gold standard. So I'd love to hear from you guys how you feel that the CMC has helped your program, what it is that you do that may be different from everybody else. So I'll let you guys talk. Anyone?
I'll start. I'm not shy.
Thanks.
I'm a registered nurse. I also have a undergraduate degree in business and a master's in health services administration. And so I've always felt very comfortable with one foot in business and one foot in nursing. And I've been a care manager since 2002, have my own private practice. I was doing it kind of part-time for quite a while. And since I relocated to Western North Carolina in 2014, I'm doing it full-time. I love it. It's my passion. It's my gift. And I get frustrated at times and say to my husband, oh, I should just stop this, but I can't. So it's really my ministry, too. And I also have I was a former registered health underwriter. I had to drop that designation because they get to be so many designations and the expense of it. But I have an extensive background in health insurance as well. So I like to help people in that regard, make sure they get their benefits, help them with long-term care insurance filings. And the CMC has just been important to me because I am certified in gerontologic nursing. And I think you're right, Byron. I love working with social workers. I was a hospice nurse, so we worked as a whole team, you know, with a social worker and all, and worked with them. And I was an RNAC in a skilled home, so I did the care plans and worked with the social workers on our care planning teams and all. So I love social workers. In fact, I contract one to help me just to give me a different perspective, because as a nurse, I always, especially under stress, I always fall back into the nursing, oh, you know, we're going to look at that medical stuff that's going on. And I need someone to kind of, you know, sometimes, again, get me a new perspective and outlook. So I have a lot of respect for social workers, and I see us as being complementary. And I'm all about collaboration. And I just wish that more providers would see us as real collaborators and not be so siloed. I mean, it just, as an example, I wrote a letter to a local physician. I took a client to see him. He was having an orthopedic problem, and the orthopedist didn't even come into the office to examine my client and ordered two x-rays based really just on information that I had provided in writing, didn't even talk with us. And when he came into the office to see my client, he did a brief exam. And when I told him my role as an advocate and to help him, my client has dementia too, by the way, my client had dementia. He said to me, he lit into me and said, well, you people need to get out there and do something about all the fraud with seniors. And I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? You people. And he really wouldn't let me say much of anything. So I wrote him a letter. And this doctor, the orthopedist, was the hospital's physician of the year. So I started the letter congratulating him on being the hospital physician of the year. And then I told him what we do. And also reminded him that if physicians would not silo themselves and see the value of what we do, it would just be so much better for patients. So that's kind of my classic case of advocating for what we do. And having the initials behind my name, I think, really is important to open some doors and perhaps even open some minds.
Yeah, good point. Anyone else? And to clarify, I should take my foot out of my mouth because let me tell you, I think nurses make excellent care managers. So let me say that first. Their initial training, an RN straight out of school, does not necessarily understand care management. I see you nodding, so I apologize. I don't mean that. We have two nurses on our team, and we couldn't do it without them. I agree. Sorry, I see Pam laughing too. I'm like, oh gosh, let me get that foot out of my mouth and put the other foot in my mouth. I think nurses are fabulous and make fabulous care managers.
Well, you take that foot out. Can I ask Karen a question?
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. So Karen, you've had this experience with a physician with one of your clients. How would you recommend the rest of us market to physicians that have clients across the country? Would you take pieces of what you sent to this physician and say, pull it out and send some letters to your clients' primary care physicians?
I have tried to do things like that. I think it's more a one-on-one battle. It's amazing. There's a local psychiatrist here who has given me referrals. You know, the mental health ones we often get that are the most challenging. But I've just found, I've taken a lot of marketing materials. If I can get an email address of the practice manager, I email them. I have a piece on indications for care management needs, a one pager I wrote on what a care manager can do, how they specifically can help. And the local hospital here, even I've met with the care managers. They call them case managers in the hospital, who are nurses and social workers, met with them. And I recently, with the pandemic, said, I'm an essential business. I can help people as they're transitioning out of the hospital if they need help. Nothing back. Absolutely nothing. So I don't know. I've just found it to keep trying, and it's one-on-one with physicians who get it. And maybe they know somebody, and a care manager has helped them, or another patient. But I just find it extremely challenging. And I spend half my time marketing and half the time doing the actual work.
No, and it's a struggle. And we know it's a struggle. And we're trying to help figure it out. We're working at both the national level to figure it out, and then hoping that the chapters and units of ALCA are working at the local levels to figure it out. Because it is an issue. We are going to run a webinar at ALCA with Connie McKenzie, who is a nurse care manager, and Mindy Owens, who is a case manager. Mindy's practiced the last 18 years. She's the second chair of the board of the Case Management Society of America. She's one of the founders. And she, for the last 18 years, has been her practice has been going into hospitals and retooling case management departments. So we've asked them to join together and tell us how to make this work. So I'm hoping that there will be some gems in that presentation that they're going to bring to the table, I think, in June. I'm trying to figure it out, too, because I think that at this time in what's going on right now, the work that you all do could so help these hospitals and these other organizations, the physicians with the telehealth that's starting with your clients. And we're just trying to, what do we do?
Well, I think ALCA's done an amazing job, and the CMC organization and everything too. We've made progress. And one of the things I send people regularly is that two-pager that the Florida chapter did on the benefits of working with a care manager. Mm-hmm. That was a great piece. So I use a lot of those materials when I send emails to people, send it to prospects. You know, it's very helpful, I think, if they'll take the time to read it. I think it's all, a lot of it is ageism. I think people are still in denial. They're fearful of their own aging. And they often think they can do it themselves, families. You know, they just think that way. And I'm not sure if this is going to help us or hurt us. I mean, certainly in the short term, I find locally it's hurting me because I think some families are doing it themselves because they have more time to do it themselves because they're not working, a lot of them, or they're working differently. But when we go back to normal, some semblance of the normal we had, and they're back to work and all and confused and whatever about their parents, you know, I hope that things will change for the better.
This is Janet in Houston, and wanted to, these ideas are really helpful to me. I just really appreciate the ALCA and NACM calls, first off. I wanted to kind of answer Byron's question that he posed from my perspective on why the CMC is valuable. I think for those of us with a non-traditional care management background, my background is a master's in psychology. And when I got the passion to redirect my career into geriatric care management, I went to the Graduate School of Social Work here in Houston and really just focused on the gerontology concentration to really learn the aging and the social work piece. And then I've always had pretty much of an entrepreneurial and business kind of orientation in my previous professional endeavors. So putting all of those together, though, and making sure that I'm touching all the bases and have the level of knowledge that I need to fully be able to perform in this role, I feel like that's where the CMC has really helped me to have the confidence that, yes, I have the knowledge base, yes, I have the skill level, yes, I have the professionalism, and putting all of those things together, and the discipline to maintain the CMC. You do have to make sure that you're tracking your CEUs and going to conferences and interfacing with colleagues and doing peer review is important. So I think it helps me to be more disciplined about all that. I think the initials after my MA, because the MA after my name is not what you typically see with a care manager. I don't know, Tawny, what the current stats are in ALCA as far as the number of social workers and the number of RNs. But I bet that we are really in the minority of being neither of those.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and we are in the middle of a demographic study. Julie may want to add to this. And we're hoping that we can tout that data off the top of our heads. But I think generally, we usually, you want to go ahead.
Well, I would go ahead. I can, so, I mean, when we've done it in the past, and I don't think we've changed greatly from where we've been before, but we were about a third nurses, a third social workers, and a third other. So that other sort of encapsulated, you know, the OT, PT, counseling, other degrees. And that was sort of our breakdown for the Aging Life Care Association before.
Yeah, and that's what we generally say. So when we quote things, but if folks will go and fill out their demographics, we sure could have some significant data. I'll get off my...
Where do we need to fill out the demographics, Tawny? Where would that be that you're not getting that from us?
It's we've sent it out in some e-flashes, but it's in your, for the Aging Life Care Association, and I know we're getting a little bit backwards, but it's on your member account. So when you log into your member account, if you're on the landing page, you scroll down and you can update your profile, and there's a tab that says member demographics, and then you have to edit it and save it.
Okay.
And there's directions, I think, on it.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And make sure you put your picture in there, too.
I think mine is, but I logged onto this call because I would love to know what other CMCs who are not in ALCA. That was an interesting topic to me, is what other environments are y'all involved in? So it looks like we've got overwhelming representation except for Kelly. And thank you, Kelly. Now we know your background, but Kelly has stepped off for a minute. But it looks like we've got an overwhelming presentation of ALCA members who are CMCs here.
Yeah, and Kelly, for those that aren't looking at the Zoom chat, Kelly stated that she works with Visiting Angels. She's worked with them for 15 years, and her CMC training helps her direct the care for their care recipients, assist our families with info. And at this time, all of their care recipients happen to be in their own home. She doesn't have a medical background, but has been with Visiting Angels for 15 years. I'm a lifelong learner. And then Stephanie beautifully asked why the CMC instead of something else. And she said she had a great mentor who guided her towards elevating her focus so that she could be more beneficial to her care recipients and families. I love the word elevate. Yeah, because the CMC, I think, does elevate us.
You're a little quiet sometimes, Byron.
I am?
Yeah.
I think you guys, it may be my headphones. I know Stephanie said there was some feedback. Let me try. How's that? Is that better? Off of, see if I can switch this off to the MacBook. How's that? Is that better? No?
It was actually better for me before, Byron, before we did what you just did. I hadn't been having any trouble hearing you. But...
I would like to hear from S. Daniels here. I see she's put a, she or he has put a note in the chat about that her practice, his or her practice is with individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We don't see a lot of that as much as other systems. If that person could give us some more background about them, I'd love to hear.
Can you unmute?
They'd have to unmute themselves.
I went ahead and okay. Should be unmuted. Well, it won't unmute.
If they muted themselves, I don't think you can.
Yeah, but I could, but so. It's not letting me.
Okay. And we do have a group. I mean, was that S. Daniels?
No, that was me.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm probably in about 15 minutes or sooner. I'm going to have to get off the call. But I'm Spencer Brown. I'm in San Antonio, Texas. I hang out with Byron a lot. We're neighbors. And our company serves several Texas markets in Denver, Colorado. To your question, Mary Kay, in our business, I'm not the business owner. I'm one of the aging life care professionals, care managers in our team. We see a significant amount, well, that's not true, a fair amount of people with intellectual developmental disabilities, as opposed to, mental health, schizophrenia, bipolar, those things, but different Asperger's, autism, we do see a fair amount of those that are part of just, it is a different caveat, I would say, than a traditional elder care situation. So I just say that we see a fair amount of that. Since we serve clients as young as 18, any adult is 18 and older. What I was going to say, again, back to Byron's question, and I've thought about this. I've been an ALCA member for 10 years, and I'm the chapter president currently of our chapter. And for me, I think the value of the CMC, I've always thought has been more valuable to me in terms of my commitment as a professional to use the word in Kelly's email, to elevate myself, not necessarily elevate above the competition necessarily, but elevate my skill set, make sure I'm aligning myself with a professional standard, with the organization. I honestly have thought less about it being a big value proposition to people that refer to accountable aging, to our clients that hire us. I've often struggled with, do they really care that I'm certified? Do they care that I'm an ALCA member? So every time I get a survey that says, I always struggle with how to answer it, because for me, the most value of being a CMC is the value that I put in it. Not that it makes me better, but it I have a high standard, like most of us do. But I'm learning already from this brief conversation so far that there are ways to incorporate that language. Oh, I got feedback all by myself. That was weird. But I could start using some language, which I do. I tell people about aging life care, the association. I mean, I really do talk about the profession because I think that's very important to get across. On the CMC part, I don't really talk about being certified or being that advanced aging life care. I mean, I just don't. And Stephanie would like to respond.
I think S. Daniels. I think S. Daniels is unmuted. Did you want to give us a background?
Okay. Yes, I'm unmuted. I'm in North Carolina, and I deal work with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we're moving to this overall health care, overall well-being of the individual. And with the certification, it's helping other professions recognize what we're doing and talking to them and explaining the needs of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and getting their needs met, because sometimes they are overlooked a lot. So with this, it is helping me understand a whole different area and being responsible, meeting the needs of the individuals.
So you're not, and you don't belong to the Aging Life Care Association, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I think I've spoken to some other individuals in your organization. You're in Central North Carolina?
No.
Oh, no.
I'm actually okay. On the western side.
On the western side. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. I'm glad you're on the call.
Yeah. I'd like to just talk a little bit about Spencer, and I think I agree totally. I remember when I first got licensed as a social worker, it was for me a very important personal level of achievement and understanding that I actually, although I tell myself that I never know what I think I'm doing, that I actually must know what I'm doing, because I managed to put in those practice years. I got the supervision. I did the test and I passed. So for me, it was validating as well. However, we do live in a credentialing world where people do look at what's behind your name. So I think it's important. I think that whatever you have beyond, you know, your RN, your social work, your geriatrician, whatever you have with those credentials are an important statement to other professionals and other consumers about the fact that we have put in the time. We've learned what we need to learn. We are skilled at what we do. And that's an important aspect, especially I think because Byron mentioned that there are people who have hung up their shingle at whatever. It could be care management. It could be whatever it is. The people who put up a shingle, they don't have that credential. And by having what we have, which is the CMC, I'm focusing on that, it's saying, we know what we're talking about. We know what we're doing. So I think it's not just for ourselves. I think also because I am on the board of NACM, I've been very closely involved in the whole evolution of the process of applying and meeting the criteria for applying to take the exam, that we have raised the bar, I think, significantly in what the CMC, what this certification actually means. So what I do, because I get a lot of calls, not for my services, but to ask me who I would refer to in Texas, you know, who would I refer to in North Carolina, I am going to specifically say to them, first of all, somebody who is an ALCA member also, that's important. And I'm going to say if they are certified in care management. So I use that as a, for me, I use that as a reason when I give out people's names that I can be sure that they've reached a certain level of education and practice skills. That's it.
I think that's a great point, Stephanie. And I think you've blended kind of what Janet was saying and Spencer, you know, everything about why you got the certification, really to raise the bar for me, to prove that I can do it. I love that. And I mean, I do obviously think it also sets us apart. I think it's a great conversation starter. To kind of prepare for this call, I tried to do a little research. And I've either lost my knack for research or there's just not much out there. But, I was trying to look at how certifications or how, I have to look at it because they're called postnomials. Who knew that? All the letters behind our name has a name. They're called postnomials. I found all sorts of articles and studies on how you should use postnomials and how in Europe or in the UK and in the US they're put in different orders and they represent different things, but how much are they respected? And there was very little on that. But I found that employers, through Sharma and a lot of the HR stuff, that employers seem to really like very specific postnomials. You know, obviously your degree, but then industry-specific certifications are extremely important on your resume and on your business card. There were some studies on looking at business cards. As for the public, it was a little split that some people, some studies showed that people thought too many letters were, pretentious. And then others thought it set you apart. Just anecdotally, I feel like they're great conversation starters. Because, people can look at the alphabet soup behind our names on our business cards and go, what are all of these? And Stephanie, I think to your point, I love to point out, I'll usually even skip over my LCSW, my clinical social work, because most people know what it is, but also because I think the CMC is the one that sets us apart, that sets me apart. So.
And I think to add to that, that whether or not you all agree, you are part of the healthcare continuum. And in healthcare, letters after your name mean a great deal. I'm not saying an MBA doesn't mean something or a CAE, you know what that is. Doesn't mean something in the industries where they are, but I'm thinking healthcare, it's really important.
I would agree.
Well, one of the things that was discouraging to me, I'm a 3-year diploma graduate RN, and I went to a Specifically, I went to a great hospital nursing program that was 36 months long. It wasn't one of these, short things back then. Had a lot of clinical experience, and nursing has kind of turned its back on people who don't have the BS. So I've made some comments about that anyway. But one of the things I did, fortunately, was get certified in gerontologic nursing. Now, the American Nurses Credentialing Center, if you don't have a BSN, you can't get credentialed in one of the specialties. And I get it, I started all over when I went back to get my business degree. And it was really crazy to me because the university I went had a BSN program. My nursing school was accredited and their university program wasn't even accredited by the National League for Nursing at the time. So it was like, really? But I think that we need to recognize other degrees as people that come from different areas that are still, they still have much to offer. And I think we have to be careful about kind of turning our noses away from people. And in nursing, it's a real battle.
It's amazing to me that
during this pandemic, I am getting things from the North Carolina.
I'm just listening on my phone.
From the North Carolina Nursing Board saying, please come back to work. Please apply as a clinical nurse.
You know where a lot of that has come from, Karen, is the instructors in a lot of the programs because of their age, too.
Right.
Yeah. We don't have an influx of new nursing instructors.
Right. But it's amazing because I actually taught at the community college level, and I taught nursing assistants at one point, and I taught associate degree nurses in the clinical setting. I got a special dispensation because I did have a master's degree, even though I didn't have a BS in nursing. So that's my gotcha.
Yeah.
I just want to say, Karen, you know, just in terms of the CMC, we have certainly made an effort to widen the umbrella in terms of who can meet the criteria for taking the exam. And that's specifically because we believe that having a lot of different professional backgrounds with some relationship to, you know, it's sort of like if you're going to be, and this is not to disparage, do not write to me, you know, an interior decorator, but you don't have any other credential, you know, then, you know, then we needed to enlarge that. And I think, I mean, Judy probably can speak to this this better than I can, that's something we've been pretty successful at doing. Judy, can you add anything?
Sure. When we, for the eligibility requirements to sit for the exam, there's different paths to apply. So depending on your background and experience and your education, you know, if you have an unrelated degree, then you just need more experience in the field versus a related degree with less experience. So anyway, there is, definitely different paths to certification, and it's all based on experience and education and a mix of those two things.
But I think to that point, to both of your points, that's what makes us kind of better together, to steal motto from ALCA. And so it takes, you know, it takes, and I think Karen, you spoke to this, having the social work point of view in your practice. You know, I worked in a hospital setting for years. I taught for 10 years at a university. But when I started my practice and it was just me, you know, I was singularly focused. And I still remember when I hired my first RN to help me, and we went out together on a client, and I went, oh my gosh, I have been missing 50% of, you know, I've been missing so many things in my assessment because I'm myopic. And so I think, you know, I think Spencer just dropped, Spencer's, you know, master's in gerontology. Janet has her, you know, her master's in psychology. So I do think it takes a village to kind of do care management, but we do have to have standards. I love my daughter and her bachelor's in English, and, you know, she's working on her master's in creative writing. You know, what kind of care, I'm not, you know, what would she bring? She'd certainly bring something to care management, but I'm not sure that it's the same thing that, you know, all of us in this collective field bring together. Anybody else?
Sure.
So, yeah, Karen.
I would agree that I think my credential is most valuable when I'm in a medical setting, whether I'm at a clinic, accompanying a client to an appointment, or in the emergency department. I always wear my badge, whatever, that says I'm an MA in CMC. And it was also, I agree, it was important to me that it does provide a sense, a level of discipline. And let's see, my background is in counseling psychology, so I'm part of that other one third. I also have a certificate in gerontology, which allows me to call myself a gerontologist. So anyway, that's just my background. And I'm also
Karen, where are you?
So I am in the San Francisco Bay Area, Santa Clara County. I work with other independent care managers, and we've had this discussion about the value of the CMC, and honestly, not all of the care managers that I work with have that credential. People are of different minds, but it was important to me. I worked with a care management firm before I launched out on my own, and because my background is in counseling psychology, I had the supervision of a care manager who had been working as a care manager for many years. So anyway, it was important to me to get that credential.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, I want to ask Karen a question of the other care managers that you said do not have a CMC. You know, what were the reasons that they did not pursue that?
Like they just didn't determine that they didn't think that it was important when they were signing on new clients that the clients really cared. So they just opted not to spend the time and effort and energy devoted to getting the credential. And I think they're fine care managers. I happily work with them. I feel I have great faith in their ability. So, but that was their perception, that many clients just don't care, that it's not really important.
Karen, are they, do they have a different credential? Do they have a case management credential? Do they have a master's, a social worker care manager credential, or another credential?
Yeah, generally. I mean, they may be OT. One was a prosthetician. So they come from varied backgrounds. I mean, social work. So yes, they do have another credential, and some of them are even ALCA members, but not all of them are
CMC.
And then I know when I was trying to figure out which credential I should pursue, I was confused by whether to do the CMC or the CCM. I mean, it was confusing in the beginning to differentiate which one. And if somebody could address that, CMC versus CCM, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I supervised folks when I worked in the hospital who got their CCM. So that was about 20 years ago. And so at that time, CCM allowed you to supervise somebody sitting for the CCM exam. You either had to have a CCM or you had to have a master's in social work. So I was not a CCM. I had my master's in social work. And so, you know, in seeing them prepare for the test, it was much more medically focused. It was focused on insurance benefits, on workers' compensation, and then on the medical management of the client. So fantastic for, you know, case managers working in a hospital or working for an insurance company. I think it does have some relevancy. It obviously touches on a lot of what we do, but the CMC, you know, just it's what we do. It's written by, you know, care managers for care managers. Stephanie, you have more.
Yeah.
Have we ever done a crosswalk?
Can I just answer this?
Yeah, sure.
Karen's question, because I think that we have to go back in the history.
Yes.
of ALCO, which was the National Association of Geriatric Care Managers at the time, and when the decision, and it was a very long process of coming to the decision that you know, there was a whole licensure versus certification, and we came to the certification was a way to just elevate the whole thing. But we had people then, certainly from very different backgrounds, a lot from nursing, and a lot of them had the CCM at the time. We could not just come in and say, you can only have one certification. And we offered four different certification options. And that was a way of saying, we required members in order to fit into the professional care managers tier, that they be certified, and we required that certification by, I, and I don't remember, was it 90, it was 2000, I don't remember which year it was. January of something. We required that. We required that. And so they were given the option of the four. We could have a whole discussion at some point about whether or what to do with that, but that's not going to happen at this point. But that's why we have the four.
And I was amazed, Stephanie, at that, because I was just coming on the board. It was 2006, 2007. It might have been 2008 when the qualification started. But when I had just joined the national board and hearing the discussion that group, they looked at over 60 certifications, I remember, and that blew my mind. And, you know, some of them were, you know, some kid sitting in his basement printing out certificates. I know that, but, you know, there were many certifications for case and care management of varying degrees. And you know, they settled on the four. So sorry, Tani, you wanted to say
something. I just wonder, CCM, the case management credentialing has been around a little bit longer than the care management credentialing. And I know the history of the case management credentialing and where it came out of and what happened with it. I wonder one thing, has there ever been a crosswalk done of the two credentialing programs to show the difference in the two programs? That might be interesting, and that may help people think about which credentialing to get. And so maybe that's something we want to think about at NACM to do, because I'm sure, as you said, Byron, that the case management credentialing program is focused more at other types of things than care managers do, some of which is workers' comp and UR. And I know their standards of care are different too.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to say there's always a lot of confusion, as you said, about care managers, especially those who are working with caregiving, non-medical caregiving agencies who call themselves client care managers.
Yes.
So as you said, a lot of people are throwing the term around, and at least to differentiate.
I sat at a meeting at the LCAO, which is the Coalition for Aging Agencies, and they had a whole presentation on care managers in low-income housing for seniors. So they were under the impression that it was the only care management program around. And of course, everybody in the room turned and looked at me. So I had to say, the difference is they're hired off the street. They're taught what to do in these buildings to help the folks in the buildings. And they do a lot of the same things that our folks do, but they're not highly educated, they're not credentialed. I think you're right. I think the term is thrown around a lot, and we've got to figure out how to set care management and the credential as the, you know, the optimum top thing to do. I got to tell you, half the room at LCAO was shocked with the conversation.
And I tell folks, you know, what, you know, I'll probably tick some people off here, but I tell folks, you know, 70, 75% of what we do, anybody with some common sense, if common sense exists anymore, and a little bit of chutzpah can probably do. And that's why I think some, you know, many people are kind of successful at claiming to be a care manager. You know, they can take notes, they can, you know, think on two things at the same time, they can plan, they can coordinate. It's when the blank hits the fan that I argue, you know, it's that 25% of the time when something goes wrong that my education, my experience, and my CMC come into play. And that's where my daughter with an English degree would kind of go, I don't understand why the family's fighting. I don't understand systems. I don't understand family dynamics. I don't know enough about the medical field to understand why this is happening. I hit a roadblock. I don't know how to argue this point anymore. And so those are the points where I say, that's where you need those letters behind my name. That's the important part, is when the crisis comes, and it will come.
And I worked in assisted living, and the aides were called care managers. Okay. You know, and they weren't even really aides. They were just people hired off the street to do the care. So I think the term care manager has been so abused, and that's why I usually call myself an aging life care consultant, and then I usually do / geriatric care manager, because people still don't get the aging life care consultant yet. But yeah, care manager has been so abused. And when people call me a case manager, I hate that term. I said, I don't manage cases. Cases are something we carry around, and I manage care for people. So that's my little hot button.
Yeah. Well, we are coming up on the hour. I do want to be cognizant of your time, but we probably have time for another. Do what?
That flew by.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fast.
I might just say one more thing in that, and particularly because I know how difficult the test is for the CMC, and having tried to write some of the questions, being on the board, trying to write some of the questions for that exam, it's the critical thinking piece that the CMC brings to a distinction level, and that if you don't have enough experience or you don't have a background with that, as in social work or nursing, where assessment skills and psychology and even physical therapy and occupational therapy, where those assessment skills, body language, family dynamics, all that is brought in as part of that curriculum, I think it's very hard for people to pass the test and develop those critical thinking skills after they've graduated from school. You certainly can do it. Anybody can do it. You can have a wonderful business major that understands HR and family dynamics and all those sorts of things. But I think the CMC is the critical thinking piece that it pushes you to have a higher skill level. And it signifies that.
I have a quick anecdote there. When I was teaching at the local university, and I was teaching undergrad and graduate, I had a class who started complaining about my tests and that they were too hard. So I gave it to my then first grade daughter, who got a 60% on a college social work exam. And so I said, this is the new standard. You just have to beat my daughter. And that's where I go back to, I think, critical thinking and kind of problem solving. It can get you so far. It can get you to 60%. But it can't get you over that hump. And I agree with you. That's where the CMC sets us apart. And I'd love to see. Can we give my daughter the CMC exam? We'll see how she does on that. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Julie and Sarah said no.
I agree.
So thank you, sir, for once again leading us on a conversation. If these continue to be helpful, we will continue them. I want to thank the rest of the board for being on the call. Mary Kay and Linda and Stephanie, thank you, as always. And also want to thank Julie and Sarah for joining us today. Go and have a wonderful, safe, healthy weekend, and take care of yourselves, and thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.